Good morning and welcome to our Lord's Day service, and we do hope that the service is a blessing to you. We want to welcome Betty Lewis and Paul Zafer. Betty is on the faculty of the Birch Creek Music Performance Center and a member of the Peninsula Music Festival. Paul is a member of the Peninsula Music Festival, concert master of the Chicago Sinfonietta, and on the faculty of Wheaton College. We're just so delighted that they are here today. We're so delighted to welcome back Cindy Steele. She blesses us with her voice on so many occasions. Cindy is a vocal coach and is on the board, is chair of the board of Northern Sky Theater. Let us turn our hearts to worship the Lord.
The watchword for the week is found in Psalm 67, verse 5. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Our first scripture lesson is taken from the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. Happy is the mortal who does this, the one who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and refrains from doing any evil. Do not let the foreigner join to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And do not let the eunuch say, I am just a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it, and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in the house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. Please join us in singing, Come Now, Almighty King.
To that time of service where we bring our praise reports and our prayer requests. We're so delighted today that we are welcoming into membership Tad and Andy Dukart. Tad and Andy have been attending for years, wonderful friends of the church. We already feel they've been a part of our family, and now we make it official. We also want to give thanks to God for Kay Marr. She celebrated another year of life, her 90th year yesterday, and the flowers today are in her honor. For our prayer concerns, we want to remember Jaden Michael in our prayers. He's a little boy who had a rough start in life. We're thankful that he's home, and we need to continue to pray for him. For people who are struggling with cancer, Dean, Deborah Jane, and Dave, who is my stepmother-in-law's brother. We want to remember Carol, who was in a terrible car accident which took the life of her husband, Kevin. We want to remember all those who are awaiting COVID test results. And we want to remember our brothers and sisters in Iowa. There was a dreadful storm in Cedar Rapids. It took out many crops. About 40% of the crops were destroyed. There's many people still without power. So we want to remember them in prayer today. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we are so grateful that we could come here today to praise your holy name, to remember the grace and the mercy that you shower on us every single day. We're so grateful that Kay Marr has been given another year of life, and we ask that you would continue to bless and strengthen her. We're so grateful to welcome Tad and Andy into membership. And we ask that you would bless and strengthen them as they continue their ministry among us. We would remember those who are in need. Friend of little children, keep, guard, and bless Jade and Michael. For those who are struggling with cancer, for Dean and Deborah Jane and Dave, that your mercy would extend to them, that your healing power would be upon them. We ask that you would be with Carol as she recovers from injuries and mourns the loss of her beloved husband, that you would grant to her comfort from above. We ask that you would be with all those who are awaiting test results, that you would grant them peace of mind and strength for the journey ahead. We bring before you our brothers and sisters in Iowa who are struggling to recover from this terrible storm, that you would grant speedy relief, that you would strengthen those who are in that area to bring the right kind of help that is needed. Lord, we bring ourselves to you, knowing that you delight to hear us. For we ask it all in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our gospel lesson comes from the book of Matthew. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon. But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. He answered, It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. She said, Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our reflection is written by Kathleen Harris, entitled Shattering Boundaries. If one keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it and keeps their hands from doing any evil, a place in the temple awaits. A pedigree is not a requirement. All have a place at God's table. Jesus and the disciples were north of Galilee. A Canaanite approaches, asking merciful healing for her child. Jesus seems to ignore the Gentile's plea, but she does not give up. The Gospels of both Matthew and Mark record a verbal exchange embedded with cultural references that can be confusing to the modern ear. For starters, the Canaanites were a past archenemy of the Israelites. Importantly, Jesus' disciples witnessed the encounter. The disciples are stand-ins for you and me. Imagine being there and seeing a person who does not follow Jewish law, rules you hold so dear. She's bothering your Messiah, the man sent to save your people. Her cries are relentless. Lord, help me. Bug off, you think, and tell Jesus to silence her by telling her to get lost. Instead, Jesus ignores you and addresses the woman. Some Bible scholars think Jesus used the encounter to reveal the scope of his earthly mission, that the lost sheep he mentions include every kind of breed, from Apenninicus to Zwarbles, in the language of a real shepherd. In other words, Jesus' outward disregard for the Canaanites' distress and the little girl's troubles was really a setup. In his conversation with the Canaanite, Jesus instructs his followers to welcome and serve the disenfranchised, the unclean, the other. These Bible scholars think the story of the Canaanite woman shows how Jesus shattered cultural boundaries and that he calls us to do the same. Faith in salvation is not bound by ethnicity and can exist at the same time in groups with different worldviews. There are no Canaanites among us, but there are people who look and sound different from us. They are no less worthy in the sight of God.
Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I have to tell you, since we've gone on live on Facebook, I want everything to be just right. I want to look good. I check my makeup before I come on. I notice that our musicians do the same thing. They rehearse and rehearse and rehearse, and they don't really want people to see the rehearsal because that's when all the mistakes are made. And we want it to be just right. Now, if I'm doing a podcast, every Friday I do a little podcast. I can't tell you how many takes I use on that podcast because that's recorded. That's not live. So I sit in front of my selfie camera and I talk and then, oh, that's not right, and I press stop, and then I talk again and I press stop, and it might take 15 takes before I think it's right for you. Don't you do that too? When we're in public, we want to show our best face. When we're in private, then, you know, we can be our old selves. But our public face is very important. We don't want to look bad. We want to send our very best to other people. And that's why I'm so intrigued that Matthew and Mark, the gospel writers, actually allowed that story that was read into their gospels. Mark was a disciple of Peter, so Peter had to tell this story. Matthew was a disciple. Those disciples did not turn out looking really well in that story. You would have thought that that story would have been edited out. Jesus also doesn't look too good. And commentators over the centuries have tried to explain his behavior away, as if Jesus could never be annoyed. Jesus could never be rude. Jesus had to be the perfect plastic saint. Now, if that's true, I'm in big trouble because I'm no plastic saint. And I am so thankful that the God who made these emotions embodied them in Jesus. If you read the Bible, Jesus got angry, he got annoyed, and he got piqued at times. And this was one example. The only person who came out looking good was the woman herself, that foreign woman with no name. You remember the story. She was absolutely desperate. And she asked Jesus for help, and she's shouting and shouting and shouting, and the disciples say, why don't you get rid of her? Ignoring her is not working. Get rid of her. And when Jesus says to them, well, I only came for the lost sheep of Israel, I'm sure their reaction was, good, do something. She's not a lost sheep of Israel. She's a no-name. She's a foreigner. She had the audacity to speak to men in that context. The only woman who would speak to men without her husband by her side was a loose woman. So this woman, a foreigner, comes to Jesus. And so she begs him. She bows at his knees. And what does he say to her? Basically, you're just a dog. Now, what would you have done at that point? I think I might have gotten up and said, well, I never, and walked away. But she didn't. And she said, I know I'm a dog. But even the dogs get the crumbs. Could you just give me the crumbs? And Jesus said, wow, great is your faith. And I think that the disciples, Matthew and Mark, put those words in their gospels. I think they told the story on themselves and Jesus that didn't allow them to look very good, because it taught them a very valuable lesson. It taught them a lesson in faith. This woman knew that her cause was right. This woman knew that it was a matter of life and death for her child. This woman knew that her child could not advocate for herself. And so this woman did not care that she was humiliated, that she was insulted, that she was ignored. She was going to get help. And it's a story of faith for each and every one of us. When we're in extremity, when we're advocating for right, when we're advocating for justice, and we're ignored and we're marginalized, we have to keep going because the cause is right. Especially when our cause is for the other. And the other thing that those disciples learned was the power and the grace of God. Because the woman asked only for crumbs, and Jesus gave her a feast. He said, I'll take care of it. And the Bible says that the child was healed instantly. So often we ask for crumbs of God, don't we? And God gives us a feast of grace, a feast of life. And what so many people overlook in that particular story is after they leave this woman and her daughter completely healed, the Bible says that Jesus went to a mountaintop and crowds of people gathered. And he healed everyone in that crowd. It was like the power of God was unleashed because of that woman's faith. And maybe Jesus left. He had been grumpy before, but boy, did he leave with a spring in his step because of one woman's faith. What do you want from God today? I'm not talking about what I want for myself. But what do we want for our community? What do we want for this world? What do we want for the marginalized in our world? If the cause is right, then let's take on God like that Canaanite woman did. Let us storm the gates of heaven. Let us continue to prevail against injustice. Let us continue to advocate for people who cannot speak for themselves. And let us remember that when we're casting about asking God for crumbs, like, oh Lord, help me to get out of bed today, that God will give us a feast. Sometimes when I am working away and I'm a little discouraged, I look out my window and I see the glories and the beauties of nature. I've asked for crumbs, and God has given me a feast. May God give you a feast today. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for that great woman's faith. We thank you that she pushed through beyond the humiliation, beyond the insults, to get a hold of what she needed for her daughter. We ask for all those who are in extremity today, who are begging you for crumbs. May they feast at your table. for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.